Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. The text today is from Ephesians. Takes me back to my younger days because Ephesians is a run-on sentence. 3 through 14, those verses are one single sentence in Greek. In your sixth grade English class, this would have earned you a D minus and would have had the words awk written in the margin for awkward syntax and composition. But this was not written in English, but in Greek. And in Greek, this is perfectly permissible. The translators, by the way, have spared us and has broken it up into nice little bite-sized chunks for our limited attention spans. It is one huge sentence that begins with our blessing in Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms, in the mind and the gracious heart of God, and it doesn't stop until it reaches you in your baptism and the bestowal of that inheritance through the Word of God. And while run-on sentences are very tedious and awkward to hear, they do drive home the point. You cannot stop anywhere in the middle of them. But you must read and hear from beginning to end this glorious news that begins in the mind of God and doesn't stop until it reaches your ears. 7 times, at least, Paul uses the phrase in Christ or in him to locate where the action is. It is not in you nor in me. We are dead in trespasses and sin. Paul will get to that in chapter 2. But here, it's all in Christ. And that's where our faith attention needs to be focused. That's our problem. It's focused anywhere but in Christ. That's the devil's trick. Get them to focus on something else other than Jesus. My feelings, my this, my that, my the other thing, anything but in Christ. But in Christ is where the action is. Try this sometimes. Take home assignment. Reread that passage, that run-on sentence chopped up into little bits at home without the in Christ and the in him, and the whole thing crashes in on itself. Actually, you become a Calvinist if you read the sentences without the in Christ, because there you can have it all apart from Christ. Let's go through them and you'll see what I mean. 7 blessings of our being in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's where your blessings are. They're not in yourselves, they're not in your bank accounts, they're not in your portfolios. They are not in earthly places, but they are in heavenly places. The earthly places are temporal, where things rust and rot and decay, including you. The heavenly places are eternal, and that's where your spiritual blessings are for you, in Christ. You cannot have them apart from Christ. You can have temporal blessings apart from Christ, as even the unbelievers do. They get rain, they get sunshine, they get good jobs, they get daily bread, but they can't hang on to them forever. You cannot take it with you, as we like to say at funerals when they put you in a box. You cannot. But your spiritual treasures are eternal. They are kept safely for you in heavenly vaults in Christ. And the way to enjoy them now is to be in Christ, to be baptized into Christ, to trust in Christ. More on that in a moment. First, in Christ you were chosen before the foundation of the world. That means before the beginning. Think about that. To be holy and blameless before him. In Christ you are chosen, not in yourselves. You are not simply chosen, but you are chosen in Christ. There's a big difference. Here's the difference. You are chosen in love. It's the only kind of choosing God does. He does not choose to love some and hate others. He chooses in love, and in that love, he destined you for adoption through his Son to be sons and daughters of God. You are loved in the beloved Son. You are not loved in yourself. There's nothing lovable in you. You are loved in the beloved Son. Only Jesus is beloved in himself. Only Jesus is lovable in himself. And you in him are loved. And being loved in him, you have a destiny that is established for you before you even came into existence. Before you were a twinkle in your father's eye, God predestined you in Christ to be adopted as one of his children. Please notice something, underline it, engrave it on your forehead, and take it out from here with you. This predestination is in love, and it is in Christ. There is no predestination in wrath, and there is no predestination apart from Christ. What does this mean? If anyone goes to hell, it is entirely against the will and the purpose of God. And you can tell your Calvinist friends to put that in their pipe and smoke it. Predestination is a one-way, those are Presbyterians, by the way, in case you don't know who they are. Predestination is a one-way deal in love, in Christ, to become God's child. This is God's plan from eternity in Christ, from before the foundation of the world, from before the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, before God even spoke a word, you were elect in the elect Son, chosen in the chosen one, loved in the beloved Son. That means this: you had nothing to do with it, which is why it is by faith alone, through grace alone, for Christ's sake alone. It's all a done deal in Jesus, as it has been since before the foundation of the world, or as Jesus put it while hanging on the cross, it is finished. What can you possibly add to that? Though we try. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The blood that he shed once for all on the cross to save the world. The blood that he puts in your mouths as wine for the forgiveness of your sins. This is his rich and lavish grace, undeserved kindness. You think you deserve any of this? You need to think again. You're dead in trespasses and sin. That's chapter 2, maybe next week. His blood buys you back. His blood covers your sins. His blood cleans up the mess that you've made of your lives, which has been messed up since your conception. This is not merely a kind attitude in the heart of God. This is grace with blood on its hands. Grace covered with blood, sacrificial, redemptive blood. And it's not just about forgiveness. Hear this, Lutherans. It's not just about forgiveness. It's cosmic. The plan is even bigger. The implications are universal. God's purpose in sending his Son to bleed to death on a cross is to unite everything, all things, in heaven and on earth in Christ. Literally, God wants to bring everything in heaven and on earth, the whole creation, under one head, that is the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam as head failed, and in failing, he plunged the entire cosmic order into sin, death, decay, and chaos. And we each add our own part as children of Adam. Each of us is a little chaos factory, wreaking our own divisive disorder wherever we go. It's manifested in our families, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, in all our relationships, in our dealing with the strangers in the world, in dealing with the world itself. And the master plan of God is to recreate and bring all things together new, under a new head, under Christ, whether in heaven and on earth, as Jesus said, "I am making all things new." We sometimes forget the cosmic effects of sin. We think that sin is some little private thing between us and God forbid the pastor should find out about it. We think that sin is isolated and doesn't have any far-reaching effects. We think that little affair is just our own private business. We think that abortion means nothing. We think that curse against our neighbor has no implications apart from that word. We need to think again. If you think that, you are dead wrong. One act of disobedience on the part of one man named Adam, one little solitary act in a garden, against the Word of God brought devastation, destruction, decay, and death on what was called a very good creation. Every sin adds to the disaster. It doesn't matter how small the sin is, a petty theft, a white lie, a juicy bit of gossip. Oh, the big ones have big consequences, yes. But the little ones add up to one big, huge, rebellious chunk of humanity and a cosmic load of death. Here's the news. Jesus absorbed it all. Like a magnet drawing iron filings, he drew all to himself in his death, and he cried out in dereliction on the cross, "It is finished. For you, for me, for the world, finished, done to death." The plan is executed as the Son is executed. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man, and as man, he takes the law's sting in your place. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you are justified. In Christ, you are sanctified. In Christ, you are glorified. It's all done even as we sit here this morning. You are glorified in Christ at the right hand of God. Your life, that is your true life, as it actually is, held by God, is hidden in Christ with God. Hidden. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't taste it or smell it. You must believe it and trust it and take Christ at his word that your life is hidden in him. And there's more. This is a run-on sentence. We're not done yet. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. That's a great gospel gift word, inheritance. How do you get an inheritance? You don't earn it like wages. You work for wages. But for an inheritance, someone has to drop dead. And you have to be in the good graces of the person who has dropped dead. It is by grace. That's how you get an inheritance. But think about this. What if you inherited $10 million and nobody told you about it? What if you were an heir and you didn't know about it? Well, you would still be an heir on paper, and there would be $10 million waiting for you with your name on it. But if you don't know it, you won't claim it. And if you don't claim it, you will go on living as though you had nothing. Listen to how Martin Luther put it in the Large Catechism. He's right in line with this. He says this, "The work is finished, the work is completed, Christ has acquired and won the treasure for us by his sufferings, death, resurrection, and the like. But if the work remained hidden and no one knew of it, it would all be in vain, all lost. In order that this treasure might not be buried but put to use and enjoyed, God has caused the word to be published and proclaimed, in which he has given us the Holy Spirit to offer and apply to us this treasure of salvation." How are you going to enjoy an inheritance unless you know about it and you claim it for your own? How are you going to enjoy salvation and life and forgiveness and peace with God unless you know about it? And now you see the purpose of the church, to broadcast salvation, to herald the good news of Jesus, to tell all that they have an inheritance in heaven waiting for them in Christ who died and rose for them. That's the purpose of the church, not to hold hands, not to make us feel good about ourselves, but to proclaim the inheritance that is ours in Christ. And now it gets to you, my friends, this run-on sentence which runs on like a river having its source in the heavenlies. Now it comes to you. In Christ, you also. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and you believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You were marked. You're marked, men and women. Sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You have heard it for yourselves. In your own ears, Christ died for you. His death is your death. His life is your life. His inheritance is yours. You heard it, and by the grace of God, you believed it. You are baptized. You are sealed, marked with the promise, Holy Spirit, that promise which is for you and for your children, as St. Peter said on Pentecost. That baptismal spirit is God's down payment on your inheritance, the first installment, the first check, with much more to come. You can't have it all just yet. You'd like to, but you can't. It would be nice, but you can't handle it. It's like a 16-year-old inheriting $1 million. He doesn't get it all right away. It would be irresponsible to give it to him right away. He thinks he's ready. He knows what he would do with it. And so does everybody else. That's why he didn't get it. It's put in a trust fund, and he gets a little allowance until he comes of age. And then he gets the rest. Paul said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You and I, as we are, cannot inherit. We cannot lay hold of this inheritance, not take possession of it bodily. We cannot. These are sinful, decaying, dying bodies of ours. We are corrupt through and through in body and soul. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We are hopelessly soiled with sin. We are subject to decay. We can only die. But the inheritance that Jesus won for us is still ours. The kingdom ours remaineth. And we will come of age to full maturity in Christ in the day that we die and rise. When the trumpet will sound, when the dead will rise, when what you have heard and believed you will see and acquire possession of what you now receive by faith. And it will all be to the praise of his glory. It is all in Christ, and it is in no one else. Christ alone, as our youth heard this last week at the youth conference, Christ alone. In him we are blessed eternally in the heavenly realms. In him we are loved and destined to become the children of God. In him we have redemption through his blood. In him all things in heaven and on earth come together as a new creation under his lordship. In him we have an inheritance that will never fade away. In him we are marked as God's dear children, baptized into his death, crucified with Jesus, buried with him, raised with him, glorified with him, all to the praise of his glory. And if it means that, like Amos, you're told to go home and shut up, or if it means, like John the Baptist, that they cut your head off because you dared to speak the truth of Christ, so be it. You have an inheritance in Christ. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.